talking today with Gabe Brown. Gabe, of course, producer from Bismarck, North Dakota. Gabe, as we think about your presentation here at No-Till on the Plains, you talked about, you know, from farmer to farmer. You were talking about how you have been successful in kind of reinventing your agricultural operation. Kind of walk us through how you were able to do that and come to this point where, by a lot of standards, you're very successful. You're debt-free. You've got good cash income coming. How have you been able to get to that point?
Well, the biggest thing that happened to us, we went no-till in 93, so we've been 100% no-till ever since. But from the years 95 through 98, we lost four crops in a row to hail and drought. And it was an extremely tough time. The banker didn't want to loan us money for inputs, so I had to find ways to, what I thought at the time, was produce those inputs for myself, mainly nitrogen, et cetera. So we started doing some cover cropping, growing more legumes, integrating them into the system. What I began to realize over time that we really needed to focus on soil health. And as we improved the soil, increased our organic matter, increased the amount of carbon in our soil, the soils are so alive that they, in turn, produce the nutrients that we need. And so in our operation, because of the diversity with all the cover crops and with the diverse cash crop mix, we grew over 25 different crops in 2011, our soil has become so healthy that we've pretty much totally eliminated the use of any commercial fertilizers. And we've reduced herbicide to where we're only doing a herbicide pass every 2 or 3 years. And we're moving towards eliminating that totally. When we focus on farming and ranching in nature's image and think of it as a holistic, take a holistic integrated approach to it, that everything works in wholes, and we follow nature's example, things just become much easier.
You're not renouncing technology. You're saying let's work these things together.
Without a doubt. We still use AutoSteer and some of the latest technology, but it's just that we have to get back to realizing that the soil is alive and that it produces the food we eat. So to get these high-quality, nutrient-dense foods that we produce, whether it be grain or meat, whatever, we have to focus on soil health. And that's the number one thing any farmer or rancher can do to improve profitability on their operation.
Tell me a little bit about your cover crops. I know we've heard discussions by other people and by you as well about this idea of cocktails.
Yeah, cover crop cocktails, what we started growing some two-way mixes back in the mid-90s, but it really came around for us when we were at this No-Till on the Plains conference and listened to Ademir Caligari from South America talk about how they were going in with multi-species mix. And we kind of coined the phrase that it was a cocktail mix. And what we found, it really became apparent to us in 2006 when we seeded single species monocultures like radish, turnip, and then in an adjacent plot we seeded a nine-way mix. And that nine-way mix in a drought year outproduced the monocultures by over 300%. And it showed us that something is happening with these plants in a healthy soil where the roots are helping each other, bringing up nutrients and through the intermingling of them. And because of that, it shows that when we do things in a mix, it outproduces monocultures every time. So we need to grow these cover crops in a mix. And now what several of us are working on is we're actually putting cover crops into our cash crop and improving that, because 2 + 2 = 4. It equals 6 or 8 or something else we're finding in nature. So the more you can get in there to a point, the better.
Tell me a little bit. I know that one of the things that you're trying to do, that you do run some livestock, some cattle, that you're using these cover crops for when you can, is to actually harvest some of that forage by your animals.
Yeah. If you have access to livestock, you can improve the soil health on your operation even more. One thing we do, for instance, say we seed a wheat crop and we harvest that wheat crop, we go in with a warm season cover crop cocktail mix, and then that's what our cattle will graze in the winter. We'll graze them on that cover crop mix. We'll let them eat about a third of the above-ground biomass, leave the remaining two-thirds as armor to protect the soil surface and to feed soil life. But by grazing cattle on it, we're able to recoup the cost of the seed and seeding of that cover crop mix.
Yeah, I know that you do some rotational type grazing, or I think the term I heard from you, mob grazing?
Yes, what we're actually doing is we'll go in, and if we have a spring seeded cover crop mix, a cover crop cocktail, we'll go in with high stock densities up to 600,000-700,000 pounds of beef on an acre, putting cattle in very high stock densities. They're taking one-third the above ground, knocking two-thirds down as a total cover on the soil surface, plus the dung and urine that the cattle provide. It is really, really improving the life of our soils.
And you're literally leaving them on there just a few days.
They're actually, when we get into the real high stock densities, we'll move cattle 5-6 times a day. So they're only on that just for a matter of hours, and then we're moving them on. And I tell you, it's a wonderful way to get young people involved in agriculture. If you have some young people and you can bring them into the operation to help you move these cattle, and it's very simple and easy with today's electric fencing technology to do it, but you'll really ratchet up the health of your soils if you can integrate livestock.
Pretty easy to move the stock from one source to another in this case?
It is amazing to people when they come and tour our operation how the cattle tend to move themselves. We use polywire, temporary posts, and then we use a system called a bat latch, which is a little solar-powered automatic gate opener timer with a bungee cord. Just push the time in. My son goes out in the morning. He'll set up that day's paddocks 5-6, however many times he wants to move them. Punch the time in the bat latch. He wants that little bungee gate to fly open. The cattle move themselves the rest of the day. It's simple and easy.
I guess they want to go to that next big, tall, appetizing-look set of moisture or forage, right?
That's exactly right. It's like putting me in front of a buffet. I'm gonna move to all the desserts first.
So, are you seeing pretty good rates of gain?
We, depending on the type of class of livestock and how we want to address our resource concerns. If we're going for a gain, say on a set of yearling cattle that we want maximum gains, we'll get 2 to 3 pounds a day gain easy on them. It really is not difficult on this high quality cover crop forage to get good gains.
So, the Southern Plains, we do some wheat grazing, obviously, the hard red winter wheat especially. This is obviously a much stepped up basis from what we do here around here then.
Yeah, and one of the things we're seeing, as a matter of fact, I was just visiting some producers from Oklahoma just a few minutes ago, and we were talking about how in the winter wheat now, we're getting some people to try some diversity, and they're actually, when they seed that winter wheat in the fall, they're adding a legume, they're adding radishes, maybe some kale, so they can get more forage production off it when they're grazing it, and those in turn, they're not going to affect and be detrimental to that wheat crop. So they're going to increase the not only the quantity of the forage, but it'll increase the quality of it also.
And there's no real detriment, as you say, if once we pull it off to go ahead and grow that crop on out for grain.
No, not that we're finding. Now, there's not a lot of people doing it yet, and it becomes a matter of trying some things. And like I try and tell people, don't be afraid of failure. Just try it on a small acreage. See which crops you can seed together with that wheat, and then go from there.
What's the take-home message that you we're trying to leave in your seminars here at No-Till in the Plains?
The biggest thing I was trying to get across to people is, if you want to make small changes, change how you do things. But if you want to make major changes, change the way you look at things. Really focus on don't let your mind block something new, block you from trying something new and different. Think outside the box. Don't be afraid to fail at some things. And give some things a try. The other thing is, without a doubt, is we need to focus on the soil. We need to feed that soil, recognize that it's living resource. It's been there for millions, billions of years. We need to feed soil life and take care of it. And if we do that, it'll take care of us. What I like to say is healthy profits from healthy soils.